fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Your friends don't play fantasy? LOL. What a bunch of nerds.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Ian.
Hey, welcome to Monday's show. I hope everyone enjoyed the weekend, the last Sunday, until February, without football. How about that? How great is that, guys?
It's outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. That's not true.
What the... Oh, the... Yeah, it is.
The last Sunday?
I think so, yeah.
No, because everybody plays their last preseason game on Thursday, and then they don't play that Sunday, and then they play the following Thursday for the opener.
What if there's college football, though?
Oh, well, that's true. I thought you meant just NFL.
I did mean just NFL, but now I'm one-upping your one-upsmanship, so...
No, I was just trying to make sure that you're accurate and correct, because I like to make sure you're correct.
Hmm. Gosh, should I do the intro again? Or no, let's leave it. Last weekend without football until February. That's pretty awesome. Today on the show, we're going to review a mock draft, find out what round I took CJ Anderson in, find out which owner may have reached on each of his first three picks, and considering Heath's number one running back will miss at least half the season, Heath basically went zero RB, picking 11th. So we'll see how that team worked out.
Jay Ajayi is your first running back?
I did not. The problem is, and Jamie said this, that last week's draft actually happened like 10 years ago.
It feels like it.
I had to actually pull the league up so I can remember who's on my team.
Right.
I feel like I killed this draft.
Really?
Yeah, I love this draft.
Are you sure you're not looking at my team? Because I'm pretty sure I killed this draft.
No, your team is very good, but my team is better.
Oh, good. I'm glad we get to compare. We'll talk about our strategies. We won't go through every pick round by round, but our strategies. I do want to spend a lot of time on your emails today at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And I'm trying to figure out when we're going to start our position previews. We're still a long ways away from the start of the season, but people are going to be drafting. So it'll either be this week or next week when we start the position previews. Also, Dave is at Dolphins camp today. He'll be back with a report. Jay Ajayi's got a knee injury. Arian Foster, so far, so good. We'll hear from Dave. We got a podcast league announcement coming soon. And tomorrow's Team Name Tuesday. So you can tweet me at Adam Azer, or you can email us with your awesome team names. Every Tuesday leading up to the season, we'll do Team Name Tuesday. We're on Twitter at Jamie Eisenberg, J-A-M-E-Y, at Heath Cummings Sr., Heath Cummings S-R, and at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R, and at Dave Richard. Also, 10-team PPR draft today, and that is all I'm going to say. We'll talk about that one tomorrow. Big news, guys. I don't know if you saw Jason Lockenfora's story. He did a little Steelers training camp story, and he said some people in the Pittsburgh organization would not be surprised if Le'Veon Bell's suspension is only 2 games. How about that?
I think the nice thing is typically when somebody is usually very adamant about their appeal process, they will get it reduced. It happened with Le'Veon last year. Remember, it was a 3-game suspension reduced to 2. So I would not be surprised if it's maybe from 4 to 3.
Yeah.
4 to 2. That's probably being very optimistic. 4 to 0, as Le'Veon originally said. I think that's a pipe dream. No pun intended. But you could see a situation where he's playing maybe sooner than week 5.
Okay. Well, hopefully we find out a little bit more before we all start drafting. When are you guys going to start drafting? When does it begin in earnest?
Depends what you're referring to.
Like drafting teams that I'm going to keep, that I'm going to play throughout the year?
Yeah, yeah. You know, with your buddies, your office mates. When does it really start for you guys?
I think you got to separate that when you talk to us between personal and professional leagues. Because our professional leagues, you've done how many already, Heath?
I'm in the middle of my 3rd.
Yeah, I've done 3, or I think only 3. And those are going to continue to happen.
Well, personal leagues.
Personal, though.
I would really like to have at least 2 preseason games played, ideally.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I think so. Look, it depends. If you could do your leagues in person, you do them when you can.
Right.
And so I have one like for the guys I play softball with, which are some of our former employees here and people in the industry. We try to do that when we get together because it's fun. It's the most fun draft that I have.
That'd be fun. I wish I could do an in-person league. But I am doing one. Yeah, that's right, with Jake Seeley.
I mean, do you really want to have 11 other people in your apartment?
No, hell no. That's the only way you're going to do one. Not enough room for that. No way.
Hey, guys, I got some chips. I got some dips. Zoe's running around.
No,
I'm taking a shower.
I knew you were going to make a cat joke. She would immediately hide. There's no way anybody would see her. She'd be afraid. So thank you for bringing that up. Some more news real quick. Antonio Brown wants a new contract, and so does DeAndre Hopkins, but he will not hold out. He's reporting to camp. Are either of these situations worth monitoring for fantasy purposes, Brown and Hopkins?
I don't think so.
Not now. Now that Hopkins is there. I thought, honestly, when we were going to come in today, we were going to be talking about the DeAndre Hopkins panic because it was pretty rapid on Twitter.
Yep. I was expecting that. That was going to be like the headliner of the show. But I am doing a dynasty draft now. It's a slow draft. I've made like 4 or 5 free agent picks. And I just drafted Chris Moore, Baltimore wide receiver. I guess I am falling for the preseason story about how good he's been or whatever. There are not a lot of good options left on the board. But are you guys making anything of Chris Moore, who's a little banged up right now, but he's a rookie wide receiver for Baltimore? Chris Moore, is he
worth... Wait, a Ravens wide receiver is a little banged up?
Yeah. is he worth anything?
He could be.
Okay.
But, I mean, think about what that receiving core is. Is he going to play over a healthy Steve Smith?
Well, put healthy in quotes.
But that's the question. Is he going to play over healthy Steve Smith or healthy Breshad Perriman or Kamar Aiken or Mike Wallace? Now, long term, Steve Smith is not going to be there next year. I would be shocked if Mike Wallace is there next year.
You know, the other guy we're getting good reports about is Aiken once again, and I'm starting to think maybe I don't have him ranked high enough.
I don't agree with like how high Dave has him ranked.
Yeah.
But to me, he's the only Ravens receiver worth drafting. I mean, if we go back to the exercise we did on Friday, or I think it was Friday, of which is the last team you would draft a player from,
mm-hmm.
I think if you go even in the wide receiver position, he's going to be in that conversation of last teams you would draft a wide receiver from too. But he still should be the best of that group. If everybody's healthy, however, it'd be very surprising that he's going to dominate targets more so than everybody else.
I think I need to move him ahead of DGB or DGB behind him just because the reports have all been so negative about him. And then I think probably he should be ahead of Corey Coleman too.
That's an interesting one. Okay. I want to see. I could agree with that in a couple weeks if everybody's still dealing with shredded chicken Achilles and broken leg, you know, rookies from a year ago, broken leg sophomores. If they're all still hurt, then yeah, Aikman should definitely start to rise a little bit.
So you have Steve Smith ranked behind Kamar Aiken?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Very close.
I think universally between the three of us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the two of you have Aiken and Smith actually back to back 51 and 52 in standard. But, all right. We'll see what happens there. We'll see if there are more good reports on Chris Moore. Get into the mock draft, but you know, I did a Twitter poll over the weekend. I hope you voted.
And I did.
You did vote?
I did.
Oh, good. I know which side you voted for. Is it okay to ask the price of the special at a restaurant? Would you care to guess the results?
Oh, I think the results, without any other details, were probably heavily in favor of asking the price.
Oh, yeah. Resounding yes. 81% of the 825 votes were yes. 19% were no.
Can I amend my answer to what we talked about this? Because I didn't fully explain myself.
Sure.
I think if you, as in your case, so you had the right to ask the question. If you are getting the special, then you have the right to ask the price. Just in a blanket statement, here are the specials. Hey, what's the price of this?
Well, yeah.
And then you change your mind? Because that happens?
Oh, wait a sec. That doesn't make any sense. If I asked the price of the special. She said $21. I said, okay, I'll take that. Mm-hmm. If I had asked the price of the special and she said $25, that's too much for a burger and a side. I would have said no thanks.
The very nice restaurant and dinner that I went to on Friday night had, I believe, 4 specials.
Right.
Am I to believe that it's okay for me to say, can you give me the price for each of those?
Well, no, you zero in on the one that you want and then you ask the price.
See, that's the thing. If you knew like Dave's question to you, the octopus, if you knew you wanted the octopus
right
after the 4 were red,
yeah,
then you can ask.
I think
the thing that I was, I guess, a little thrown off by, like, and it's just me being stupid, is like you asking the price of every special.
No, I wouldn't do that. But they should just tell you, in my opinion. But okay, more on that
later. I did laugh though. I went to Capital Grill for dinner on Saturday. And when they said the specials, I started laughing. And the guy kind of looked at me like, why are you laughing at me?
Did they tell you the price?
I wasn't interested in it, so I wasn't really paying attention. Okay. But just so he said, can I tell you the specials? And I just started laughing.
Yeah,
very, very good.
They told us the specials, and I did not ask the price, and I ordered one of the specials. And the worst part about that, which probably makes me a bad person, is I wasn't buying. So I just ordered the special without knowing the price when I wasn't paying for the meal.
Yeah, that's dirty. You can't do that. You have got to.
You would not have enjoyed this place though.
Too expensive?
Yeah, there was only two or three meals in your price demand range.
It's not my price demand every time I go out for dinner. If I'm taking my wife out for her anniversary, I wouldn't make $21 per meal the limit, okay?
Okay.
Give me a little bit of credit. Let's go to the mock draft now. We had some unusual picks. This was a 12-team standard scoring league. We will get to more news and notes. We will get to more emails later. But, wow, Matthew Coca really shook things up. He took Ezekiel Elliott 5th overall. He took Brandon Marshall with the 8th pick of round 2. He took Doug Baldwin with the 5th pick of round 3. Reach, reach, reach?
Not round 1.
You could make an argument for Elliott. That's not who I would have taken there, but you could make that argument. I don't like the other two.
Okay.
At all.
Elliott went ahead of Gronkowski, Peterson, David Johnson, Jamal Charles. No. I guess.
It's personal preference. If you think Elliott's going to be the 300 carries that the Cowboys have suggested that he could get and playing behind that offensive line and doing everything that he's capable of doing in that system. I'll go back to a conversation you two guys had last year when you were comparing Joseph Randle and Carlos Hyde. And I don't know which one of you said it, but if Carlos Hyde was playing behind that Cowboys offensive line, he would be a monster. Well, where did Ezekiel Elliott go to school? The same place Carlos Hyde went to school. What kind of period did Carlos Hyde have? A little bit of a junior version of as great as Ezekiel Elliott was. So that's what you're looking at. You're looking at a potentially special talent in an amazing situation. And if he could live up to what that offensive line can do for him, you're going to be upset that you passed on him at 5 overall.
Oh, well, yeah, but ahead of Gronkowski?
I would take him ahead of Gronkowski.
You would take Elliott ahead of Gronk?
I would.
Heath?
No, I don't think I would. But I like I said, I can understand the argument for it.
So, Jamie, Antonio Brown, Gurley, Beckham, and Julio were the first four picks. When are you taking Ezekiel Elliott?
6.
Who goes before him? David Johnson?
David Johnson.
Really? Okay. Some other unusual picks. Jamal Charles went 8th overall. How do you guys feel about that?
I told Chris when he made that pick that was the highest that anyone other than me has taken Jamal Charles in a draft this year. I don't even know if I've taken him that high. But, again, I think he's in that same Ezekiel Elliott, Adrian Peterson range where it's your, and David Johnson, where it's your personal preference. I mean, when Jamal Charles is healthy, and we've seen reports already that they said if he's 100%, they're not going to baby him.
We've seen different reports too, though.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He's one of, if not the best running back in fantasy football when he's right.
Right. Yeah. But he's going to be 30 this year. He's coming off his second torn ACL of his career. I don't disagree with what you're saying. He could be, but there are more ifs than ever before. And they found guys that were pretty good last year as a group, not Charles, but as a group. Now, as Dave will tell you, I'm sure you are well aware, Heath, the Andy Reid's history is not to lean on multiple guys. It's to use one guy. And so that helps Charles. It's fine. It's not a huge reach, but I do wonder what number did Chris pick?
8.
8. So you wonder if he could have had Charles coming back. Now, maybe he knew because you were picking after him, but I wonder if it was somebody else besides you.
Right.
If he would have gotten him, because Will Brinson, who's in this draft, usually takes Le'Veon Bell. He had at the turn. He's been, you know, doing that. I would have taken Lamar Miller over him because if Chris is looking at my rankings, and then it comes down to one person picking before him. So I wonder if let's say you were picking in the top 5 picks.
Right.
If he could have gotten Charles a second, because that's typically where we've seen Charles going, somewhere between like 11 and 15.
Yep.
Right. A lot of wide receivers coming off the board in those late first round, early second round picks as well. And Le'Veon Bell, yeah, Will Brinson had the 12th pick in the draft, and he picked Le'Veon Bell with the 13th pick. He went Dez, and then he went Le'Veon, and he took D'Angelo Williams. Didn't he get D'Angelo?
Yeah. Yeah, the 5-6 turn, I believe.
Yeah, first pick of round 6. So, you know, he knew there's no way I was getting Le'Veon Bell. It's what he said if I didn't take him with the first pick of the second round. And he went ahead of Lamar Miller. He went ahead of Allen Robinson. A lot of guys. Was that too early for Le'Veon Bell?
I think in that position it is, if only because he gets to the end of the seventh round and he has two running backs, and it's D'Angelo Williams and Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
So the way that
he did it.
Yeah. His number two running back is now TJ Yeldon.
Now, I will say this, no pun intended again, that we had the most active chat room we have ever had in any draft I think I've ever been a part of.
Best chat room ever.
It was very funny. Obviously, we can't share a lot of the things that were said in there, unfortunately, but we were having a good time during this draft. And so Will even said, when it got to the point of when he looked at his team, he said, oh my gosh, I was so wrapped up in the chat, I ignored my second running back. And I think this shouldn't happen, and this is typically why people lose fantasy leagues as opposed to win them, is when you're with your friends or you're in an environment like this where you're having a good time, sometimes you overlook looking at your team.
Yeah, yeah.
Pay attention, people.
Well, and I
have fun, but pay attention.
I kind of threw him off when I took Bernard at the end of the fifth round, one pick. He was very upset about that,
right.
And so he decided to counter that by taking Moncrief away from you.
Right. Which is the way I had it planned.
Right. I think that didn't work out very well for
him. I even said to myself when I passed on when I took Deion Lewis, I'm like, the one guy who is going to take Dante Moncrief, because I know Will likes him too, is Will, and sure enough, he did.
Yeah, now if he didn't take Dante Moncrief, he could have taken Matt Forte or Melvin Gordon or Frank Gore, Jay Ajayi, and those could have been his number two running backs. Or he could have not taken Jordan Reed in the fourth round, and instead he could have taken Carlos Hyde or DeMarco Murray.
That's probably what he should have done.
Yeah. So I think, bottom line is, I think he could have pulled this off, taking Le'Veon Bell with the 13th overall pick, because he got D'Angelo Williams with the first pick of round six.
So if he, instead of taking Moncrief, if he goes, let's just say Forte and Williams, you're okay with it?
I'm probably not, because I'm getting, like, all those guys he just said, I think the only one I would really be okay with is maybe Frank Gore.
Okay, so just anybody in the Moncrief pick.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that that's too early to take Le'Veon Bell.
See, I think that instead of not taking Moncrief, I would have taken a running back instead of Jordan Reed.
He should have just taken Lamar Miller instead of Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, maybe, but if you assume you're getting great production from D'Angelo Williams whenever Bell is out,
right?
It might work.
It's just you're using two of your first six picks on one running back spot.
It's kind of worth it though if it's Le'Veon Bell.
The thing is if it's Geo.
Right.
And if it's the Steelers running backs and Geo and you're loaded around that.
Right.
You know, the thing is, it's like, it's easy to look at any of these picks. Like, you could say what, you know, Matthew Coca did, or you could say what Will did, or you could look at any of the three of our teams. And it's really, you know, it's easy to nitpick in the early part of it and say, I can't believe he took this guy over this guy. But then you take a step back after it's done. Like, we did that with Will on the 10 team draft, remember? Oh my God, I can't believe he had, you know, Dave was criticizing him about taking two picks in his first six rounds on the Steelers, but then you took a step back from it and you said, really the only questionable pick, and even then it wasn't questionable, was where he took Doug Baldwin. But then you look at his whole roster, granted it's 10-team league, it's not bad. And so I think if we're just, you know, critiquing Will's situation here, and anybody that's gonna, you know, take a chance on the Steelers guys, it's what did you pair him with or build around him if you're gonna reach for him in a certain spot early.
Yeah. All right. So Will has Le'Veon, D'Angelo, Yeldon. And after that, he's got Spencer Ware and Sharkhandrick West plus Isaiah Crowell. So yeah, he's hurting. He's hurting at running back for sure.
Right.
And maybe that means, you know how we kind of talked, Jamie, about, and Heath, but you know, Jamie and I have been saying it, and we actually talked about it on Friday off air. If you take a quarterback early, you might not want to take a tight end early.
And, well, you've been saying that for years. Your first five picks, you know, it's almost like, I don't want to say, you know, a death blow to your roster, but you got to make sure that those two guys are awesome.
Right.
And then you hit on some of these late round running backs. Look, it's the people that go zero RB and they just go with their, and you know, he, correct me if I'm wrong here, because we, Dave has a different opinion of this. To me, the zero RB theory is you wait until round six to take your first running back.
Yeah. Five or, yeah.
By definition.
Yeah.
It changes every way around. Like Dave will say, I go up my first zero, first three picks without a running back, I'm going zero RB. No, I don't agree with that.
I think it's you wait until at least the fifth.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. The way that I've always read it is six. If you go quarterback and tight end in those first six or first five, I think you're still hurting yourself even in that regard.
Well, what I was going to say is maybe the rule applies to Le'Veon Bell now too. You know, it's kind of the same thing. If you take Le'Veon Bell, I don't know if you want to take a quarterback or a tight end early. You might need those picks to build your running back depth.
Right.
I'm not sure. Well, you know, in a 12-team league, things change in a 10-team league. I did, however, take a quarterback in round five and a tight end in round six. So it wasn't like I invested two very early picks, but they're both Saints. I took Breeze in round five and I took Fleener in round six. And we'll talk about our teams now and our strategies. Also, we can talk about one thing from the chat on Friday. And that was what really started this whole, all this madness.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
So I ordered lunch. I ordered delivery because I was out of food. And I ordered the same thing I get all the time from the diner down the street. I ordered the chicken sandwich with grilled chicken, melted Swiss, and onions, like grilled onions, and potato salad, a side of potato salad, which I don't really like potato salad, but I'm trying not to eat fries, trying to be a little healthier. So I finished the entire sandwich. I'm about 80% done with the potato salad. Mushy, creamy.
Moist.
Yeah, potato salad. And I see a brown hair in the potato salad. And it's even grosser to be in the potato salad than like the sandwich, because it's like in there, it's like stuck to the mushy, gooey moistness of the potato salad. And I'm pretty sure it was mine, because I got a lot of hair right now, and when my hair gets long, it goes everywhere. So I think it was probably mine. But I started off the craziness in the chat room by asking, and you at home, please feel free to weigh in. What do you do when you see hair in your food? Do you stop eating, or do you remove it and continue eating, and remove like the affected area and continue eating? That devolved into some disgusting talk about like forget it.
You don't want to go down this road.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, just stop.
But what did you guys do? Because I'm pretty sure it was my hair.
Yeah, if I've already eaten the sandwich and I'm 80% of the way through the potato salad, I'm just throwing it out.
I did. But let's say you just started eating.
I guess you have to have some sort of conviction that it's your hair.
What if you're 50-50 on it?
Then
it's probably going out.
Especially if, like, if you were at the place, you could actually, you know, say to them, "Hey, look, I found the hair. Maybe they make you a new one."
All right, but look, the potato salad is separate from the sandwich. So let's say you open it up. First thing you see is the hair. No. Like, you see it eventually because it still might be yours, but you still have almost all of your sandwich. The sandwich is completely unaffected by the hair. The hair was in the potato salad. Do you at least eat the sandwich?
What if you take a bite of the potato salad and a bite of the sandwich and you have a little bit of both left and then you realize that you have a hair in your mouth?
Oh. See, that's good.
So then you don't know which one it came from.
But that's...
Well, look, you're obviously safe for throwing it all away, clearly. But it just ruins your whole experience. Now, will you order from this place again?
Oh, my God. It's like my go-to place. Of course I'll order from it.
Oh, no. And did you say, I don't want to say it, I'll let you bring it up.
What?
Nothing. Just how it relates to our show.
Okay. So back to the draft. All right. So I'll start with my team here. I had the 7th overall pick and I took Adrian Peterson. I guess I would have taken, probably would have taken Hopkins 7th if Elliott didn't go 5th. I was not expecting Peterson to be there. I thought Brown, Gurley, Beckham, Julio, Gronk, and Peterson would be the first 6 picks in some order. Elliott dropped Peterson down, so I took him 7th. And I got to tell you, I had a real moral dilemma with Peterson last year because I kind of despise him for what he did last season, and I'm not backing off of that. I don't know that I would take Adrian Peterson in a real draft. For the sake of the mock, I took him. And then Jordy Nelson fell to the middle of round two. He went after Alshon. He went after Evans. He went after Allen Robinson. So I took Jordy. That was awesome. Who did you think I took in the third round?
Well, I know it wasn't Michael Floyd because you're a fraud and you don't really believe in him.
Oh, come on. I don't believe in Michael Floyd in the third round. I believe in CJ Anderson in the third round, so that's who I took.
I mean, there were more than 10 wide receivers taken by your pick in the third round, and you said Michael Floyd's a top 10 wide receiver, so it seems reasonable.
I don't think I said the words Michael Floyd is a top 10 receiver.
I think you said will be.
It's a bold prediction. It doesn't mean you draft according to your bold prediction.
Okay.
You know that. In fact, later on during the offseason when I ask you for your bold predictions, I'm not going to hold you to them on draft day. But then I took Sammy Watkins one spot ahead of Michael Floyd. And I love Michael Floyd, but if you took Larry Fitzgerald off the Cardinals and you gave me a healthy Sammy Watkins, I'd still rather have Watkins because I just think he's better than
Floyd. That's what I, yeah.
So first two picks, or first four picks, I have Jordy Nelson and Sammy Watkins. Is that too risky for you guys?
It seems risky now, but no.
No? Okay.
No.
No, I mean, I would have taken Jordy Nelson and Sammy Watkins with those two picks. So yeah, I don't love the fact that they're paired together, but they were the best players available.
It's the same people that are having to settle for Dez and Jordy right now. I mean, obviously Dez is in a better situation given his health status today, unless he got hurt since we were recording this. But, yeah, it's the people that are concerned about these injury situations and not wanting to have those two guys on the same team.
I like those picks a lot more than your CJ Anderson in the third round pick.
What was so bad about it?
There's just like pretty much all of the guys taken in the next 12 picks I'd rather have than CJ Anderson.
All right. Well, we just disagree on CJ Anderson.
Most specifically, though, Demaryius Thomas. I thought he fell way too far.
Yeah. I mean, it's not PPR. It's standard. I don't disagree. I actually, they were probably one and two in my queue. But I think I just like the mid-round wide receivers so much better than the mid-round running backs. Like the middle of the fourth round, rather. Because that was the middle of the third round when I took CJ Anderson. So if I didn't take him there, I guess...
Well, who's your flex?
Because I took Breeze and Fleener with my next two picks, my flex is either Rashad Jennings or DeSean Jackson or...
Right.
Philip Dorsett.
So where you took Jackson, which was what, round seven?
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess the idea of Demaryius as your flex, right? That would be your flex?
Well, Demaryius would have been a second wide receiver.
So Demaryius and Watkins, that would have been if you had done the same thing, not taking a running back there. So you'd be looking at Charles Sims as your second running back, which
nope.
But is he better than
Jackson? I probably would have taken Chris Ivory.
Okay, so is Chris Ivory better? Well, you didn't have the chance to take Chris Ivory.
Oh, yeah, he went one pick before.
That's why I'm just looking at guys after. So is this is the dilemma I think a lot of people that lean on receiver as a flex and go a similar route that you did by taking a quarterback and a tight end. Does Demaryius Thomas, the combination of Demaryius Thomas and Charles Sims, flex and second running back, is that better than the combination of C.J. Anderson and DeSean Jackson?
I'd rather have Demaryius and Sims.
Because you're not an Anderson guy.
I don't know.
Well, I kind of feel like Sims has more upside than Jackson does.
Well, if there's an injury, sure.
The way that I have been drafting in your situation is to go the three receiver and Sims route, but it's a lot better when it's the three receivers and it's Gore and you're taking away the tight end or the quarterback.
Right. Well, that was the point. The only thing I want to really talk about with my team, because we have a lot of, you know, news to get to here. I want to catch everybody up on what's happened over the weekend. Looks like Steve Johnson, by the way, could miss the year. He has a torn meniscus in his knee for San Diego. Was that I don't usually take a tight end and a quarterback with my first six picks, but I did, and I was happy that they were picks five and six. And I really fear tight end this year after Fleener goes. I just don't feel great about any of them. So I like my team. I'm definitely weak at flex with DeSean Jackson, but I just kind of figure, like, if you're a good fantasy player, and you've got six starters that you really like through your first six picks, you'll get something off waiver wire to fill out your flex. And I'm happy with the way my team turned out. Would not shy away from taking a quarterback and Fleener in rounds five and six going forward. Totally fine with it. Heath, I want to talk about your team. You had the 11th pick, and I thought your second round pick was extremely interesting. So let's go through it. You took DeAndre Hopkins in the first round, and you took Alshon Jeffrey in the second round, ahead of Evans, Allen Robinson, and Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, that's the way I've got them ranked. I think I actually have Alshon as my seventh or eighth wide receiver overall. As long as he stays healthy, I would expect him to be better than all those guys. And I don't think he's any more likely to get hurt than Jordy Nelson is.
But wait, did you recently move him ahead of Jordy Nelson because of the knee tendonitis?
No, I had him seven and Jordy eight.
Jordy Nelson is so good, man.
Nelson is so good, but Jordy Nelson's also not young anymore and coming off of that injury. and on the pup right now, which I didn't factor the pup in beforehand, but like, I'd expect Jordy Nelson to still be a top 10 wide receiver, but okay. I don't think it's a given that he just comes back to be exactly what he was after missing a year with that ACL.
Okay, fair. So tell us how you constructed your team after you took those two wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins and Alshon.
This was the first time, I think, this whole year that I've started wide receiver. Just because in a lot of our drafts, the running backs have fallen, and I've thought the value at running back was better, so that's the way that I went. Not necessarily intentionally, but then I did something that I definitely hadn't done yet. And in the third round, I took a quarterback. Yeah. Cam Newton fell to the next to last pick in the third round. And I am Mr. Wait on quarterback, but everybody in this draft was. So I felt great about taking Cam there. Plus, it's kind of fun when we do 473 mock drafts over the summer to do one a little different than your normal strategy.
Sure.
I went with Carlos Hyde with my second pick in the fourth round. I think if you're going to wait until the fourth round to take a running back, you might as well just shoot for the moon. And you know how I feel about Carlos Hyde's upside. I was a little disappointed. I thought that John Brown might make it back to me at the end of the fifth, or that I might be able to take Tyler Lockett at the start of the sixth, and both of them went quite a bit earlier than they have in past mocks. Brown went with the 11th pick in the fourth round. Lockett went mid-fifth to Chris Towers. I think what Chris did in this draft, and he does this sometimes just to troll me, is he drafts solely based on my rankings, just so he can always hear me say that he just took a guy that I wanted.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, so I took Giovanni Bernard at the end of the fifth, and then Larry Fitzgerald in the sixth round, just like stealing.
Oh, yeah, right, for everybody else. Also, I think Chris Towers might have the worst team. By like eschewing normal strategy just to piss you off, he has a team of Matt Ryan, Jamaal Charles and DeMarco Murray, Allen Robinson and Demaryius Thomas, that's pretty good, Travis Kelce, and then at flex, like maybe Arian Foster, Melvin Gordon, Tyler Lockett. I hate his team.
I think Tyler Lockett's definitely his flex.
Yeah, I think you guys, like, maybe you're right, but putting a lot of faith in Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, well, to be a flex, though, he's just got to be a top 35 wide receiver, right? Top 30.
Yeah, but you would like, if he's going to be your flex, like, you'd like to have a better quarterback than Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think I have Ryan 8th or 9th amongst quarterbacks. That's pretty much what he's been his whole career, except for last year when he had bad touchdown luck
and a new coordinator.
So I don't think having Matt Ryan, like, if you have Matt Ryan as your quarterback, you're one of the worst, like, you're in the bottom third of the league, but I don't think it's like you definitely are the worst team at quarterback.
You also should have a backup if you have Matt Ryan as your quarterback.
How many? I mean, really, let's look at who's on the waiver wire still.
Okay. I took Blake Bortles in the second to last round. I think the Matt Ryan owner should have invested in Blake Bortles.
Stafford, Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, Flacco, Cousins, Mariota. Those guys are all on the waiver wire. There's no reason to draft a second quarterback.
I don't know if I agree with that because Derek Carr is not. Blake Bortles is not. Jameis Winston, did you say him?
No, Winston was drafted.
No, they're drafted. So, I mean, yeah, those guys are probably fine plugins, but they may not have as much upside as the other guys that I mentioned that were drafted. How did you think your team turned out, Heath?
I really didn't like it.
Why? Lessons
learned. I don't know. I don't know if it's just because I took a different approach than I always do. I mean, I was very happy with those fifth and sixth round picks. At that point in the draft, I was really happy with my team. And then I just felt like the rest of my picks kind of sucked. Now, I take that back. Sims is okay. Delanie Walker doesn't excite me at all as my tight end. And then I just kind of started taking guys that I felt like were falling to me that should be drafted beforehand. And a lot of times, if you're taking guys that are falling farther than you think they should, it's because it's guys that nobody wants to draft.
Well,
and you end up with a team full of guys nobody wants to draft.
What would you do differently?
I don't.
Cam?
Probably. That's probably where, like, the path changed. And if I would have just taken two running backs at the 3-4 turn, but.
So what would you have done there? Gone Hyde and DeMarco? Just the guys who are available.
Yeah. See, I mean, according to my rankings, I probably would have gone Hyde and Olsen.
But you got to throw your rankings out when the draft is going on because things are happening to change the course of your rankings.
The fact that I took two wide receivers just put me in a position that I hadn't been in yet this year, I think.
Okay, so let's redo it. So you get your two receivers. You obviously like those two guys. You come away with Hyde and DeMarco at 3-4.
Yeah.
And now let's just say you do the same thing 5-6 because I don't think there's a problem.
No, I'd still go Bernard Fitzgerald.
So now you got three running backs, three receivers. You're in great shape there.
And then I probably take Carson Palmer at the end of the seventh.
But so I don't think you're in great shape at running back because in that scenario, you'd have Carlos Hyde, DeMarco Murray, and Giovanni Bernard. And it's a standard scoring league, so Bernard might be basically worthless to you.
Oh, that's not true at all.
No, it's 100% true.
If but again, Adam, not to cut you off. In the spot where he's taking him and comparing him to the guys that are around him, he may not have the touchdown potential of Gordon. And I say that without Gordon ever scoring a touchdown, but he's still going to be the guy working in that regard. Frank Gore or even Matt Forte. Gio's, you know, going back 2 years ago was a guy that scored 7 touchdowns a year.
Right. And he's a guy that has had 1,200 yards 2 of his 3 years.
But on a week-to-week basis, in a standard scoring league, it is very likely that if Giovanni Bernard does not score a touchdown for you, he's going to be a flex, not a number two wide receiver, a flex at best.
Well, he's my number three running back.
Right, okay. But I think there's going to be a lot of wide receivers that are better than him. I just don't think that – I think you need better than last year from Giovanni Bernard.
Okay, but again, he's going on guys that he likes, just like you're taking C.J. Anderson as a guy that you like. And you're taking him in the third round. You know, I like Anderson better than Bernard, but just to stay on his side here for a second, if he feels that that's his third best running back in the spot that he's drafting him, how is that any better or worse than I believe Rashad Jennings is your third best running back, correct?
Yes.
But you went the quarterback tight end route,
right,
as did he originally. But if
no,
he's
he didn't.
Building.
No, he didn't. He just went the quarterback, not
okay,
tight end.
Okay, but by the time you took Rashad Jennings, he had his tight end. Correct?
Yeah, I took him at the end of the seventh.
Right. So Delaney Walker. So again, in comparing the way it could have gone versus how it did, clearly, I can't imagine that Heath wouldn't want to have Gio as his third guy.
Oh, I'd love him by third.
He's fine as his second guy. So it's just finding players that
no, look, you're right. I just think you said Carlos Hyde, DeMarco Murray, Giovanni Bernard. You're fine there. I don't look at those three running backs and feel like, oh, I'm good at running back.
Yeah, but if you go wide receiver, like as much as I don't like DeMarco Murray, and I don't have Gio as high as Heath does, I think Gio's a top 30 running back. I don't think he's a top 24 guy.
Right, top 30 still makes him a great number three.
So the way that I would approach it is, like, okay, I'll take the same exact strategy. Alshon DeAndre Hopkins, and let's just say instead of me taking Murray, I'm taking Matt Jones, who I like better than DeMarco Murray. So if you give me high Matt Jones and Gio, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
And in his scenario, he likes DeMarco Murray, so he's fine with that. I don't see why that's not the type of thing I think you look at critiquing.
No, but
when you go receiver.
Let me just finish that by saying that I don't disagree with your Cam Newton pick. That if you're talking about drafting Carlos Hyde and DeMarco Murray or Cam Newton and one of those two guys, then I would rather just take Cam Newton. I would just rather take a difference maker and try to fill in the blanks on waivers.
Absolutely. That I think is a great point to make.
And there were some guys that I took late that while nobody wants to draft them, I think they could end up being pretty good values. I basically took LeGarrette Blount at the end of the ninth round. I don't know, like Kendall Wright in the 10th.
He may get cut.
They're going to have to start some good wide receivers. And the only person we've heard anything positive about, I guess, is it was Tajay Sharpe for a while, but then it was not positive after that.
They seem to – well,
a guy from Miami, Rashard
Matthews.
Rashard Matthews.
If you follow the way that they're planning on lining up, they're going to start Matthews.
Definitely.
Like for sure. And the guy opposite him is going to be either Sharpe or DGB. And then Wright is going to be their slot guy.
Right.
But this is a team, because of how they're going to play, you're not going to see a ton of three wide receiver sets. So do they go Young and go Matthews, Sharp, DGB as their top three and maybe give Wright a chance to go somewhere else?
I think that'd be a real mistake because I think Wright's their best receiver.
I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I also know that this is a team that's not trying to necessarily focus on the now.
All right, let's go to Jamie's team here and then we'll move on. Jamie, you loved your team. What'd you like about it?
Well, I think, you know, looking at the way the first three picks, and typically you're going to really like your team or hate your team after the first four or five picks, because anything you do to supplement your depth, like Adam, I know you post on Twitter, my starters are awesome, my bench stinks. And so that's, I think, a lot of people feel the same way. You want to get good starters and then see how your bench sort of unfolds. If you like your depth, clearly you're going to really love your team. But I knew I was going to probably be in the range of AJ Green, just how he falls and how much I like him. So that was kind of the guy I was anticipating at 10. That's what happened. Getting Lamar Miller in round two is, to me, stealing, because he's got first round potential. I mean, we've talked about his role in Houston and what he could be. So I was just thrilled with that. And then I did something similar to what Keith did, just to a little bit of maybe an extra step. So I took Latavius Murray. I don't like Latavius Murray in the third round. I prefer him more in the fourth round, but he was the best running back I had on the board.
I would have loved my team if I could have got Latavius and Carlos Hyde, by the way.
And the way I was kind of approaching it was, okay, I didn't think Heath was going to take a quarterback. I did not expect Will to take a quarterback. So I thought, okay, if maybe one of the two of them do, I'm going to take either Cam or Aaron Rodgers. And then around four, I got Aaron Rodgers. And so now I've got Rodgers, Miller, Murray, and AJ Green. And I'm like, wow, I really love these first four picks.
Well, it's actually pretty interesting, because you and Heath had back-to-back picks. You had 10th and Heath had 11th. So everybody at home, you can compare the first four picks. Heath had Cam Newton, Carlos Hyde, DeAndre Hopkins, and Alshon Jeffrey. And Jamie had Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Miller, Latavius Murray, and AJ Green. So similar, basically the same at quarterback.
Right.
Just the difference is you both have the AJ Green, DeAndre Hopkins, number one elite receiver. Jamie's got Lamar Miller, where Heath took Alshon Jeffrey, and Heath could have taken Miller instead of Jeffrey.
Right.
And then Jamie took Latavius Murray, and Heath a few picks later took Carlos Hyde. So it's pretty darn similar team. Do either of you have a preference?
It's funny, because I think if you look back on our past drafts, a lot more of Jamie's probably look like my team.
Right.
And a lot more of mine look like Jamie's team.
Well, I mean, both of us are not usually inclined to take quarterbacks early. So right. To see, you know, quarterbacks on a roster is a little strange. Again, to get a fourth round grade on Rodgers is, in my opinion, you know, one of the best picks you'll find in this draft. I think the thing that actually swayed me in a little bit is the way that I thought I was actually going to play. I figured I have a better chance of getting AJ Green in the second round than Lamar Miller in the second round.
Yeah.
And then I looked actually at Heath's rankings. And so I saw how far, not far, but he has Miller lower. So let me gamble on this a little bit. And I'm going to take the receiver I like the best, which is AJ Green. But I was going to differ from my rankings. I have those guys back to back in my top 200 overall. Green one spot ahead of Miller. But I thought, again, knowing your draft, knowing the guys you're drafting with, you got to sort of switch a little bit. And I thought, let me see if I can play this. And if Will will pass on Lamar Miller, I see the guys that are ahead for Heath. He's not going to take Lamar Miller unless he changes his rankings or sways right. from his rankings. The other thing was I was planning to go receiver.
Yeah. You know,
when I saw at the 10th spot, I'm like, okay, I'm going to probably end up with AJ Green. And then I was going to take Jordy Nelson was my original plan.
Okay.
Well, and you probably would have if I would have taken Miller.
Or Will.
Yeah. But I think like through the first four rounds, I'd be really happy if I had Jamie's team, and he'd have been pretty happy if he had my team. It's round five and six where we took the same position with both picks, and both of us like our own team a lot more.
So Jamie took Deion Lewis and Eric Decker, and he took Giovanni Bernard and Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes, I would rather have Bernard and Fitzgerald than either one of those guys, and Jamie feels exactly the same way.
Yes.
Jamie, can you give me a final thought?
I could have had your two players.
Can you give me a final thought on your squad?
I mean, I don't love as Heath just mentioned, Eric Decker's my second wide receiver. I would prefer him to be my third or flex, just by the way that I typically draft wide receivers. I don't think we give Eric Decker enough credit for how he's performed in the NFL. I mean, you know, every time he's had a competent quarterback, and you can make the argument for and against Ryan Fitzpatrick, but every time he's had a competent quarterback, he's been basically a top 15 or top 20 wide receiver. And so you saw what he was last year. He was very touchdown dependent, but it's hard to overlook that. And when you start to compare him, this is the exercise I went through myself. When you start to compare him to the upside type guys of Devontae Parker and Tyler Lockett and Kevin White and even the Cardinals guys of John Brown and Michael Floyd, it's hard to say that he's not better than them. And so currently the way I have it ranked, I would take the two Cardinals guys over him, but I'm taking him over Tyler Lockett at this point. I'm taking him over, and another one I'll throw in there is Moncrief. I like Moncrief a little bit better than than Decker, but it's same conversation. But I'm taking him over Devontae Parker. I'm taking him over Kevin White, and that's not how I had it ranked before Fitzpatrick signed.
Okay. All right, guys. So that is the review of our 12-team standard scoring mock draft. We're doing a 10-team PPR mock draft today. We'll talk about it tomorrow. If you want to email us, please, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. It's Team Name Tuesday, so submit them. And you can tweet me the team names, or you can email me. You can email us. Okay, news, and then emails. Colin Kaepernick, Blaine Gabbert, they are splitting reps evenly for San Francisco. Do you have a preference? Who do you want to see win that job?
I'd like to see Cap win it.
From a fantasy perspective, Kaepernick is better because of his ability to run the ball. And it's not like I would say at this point Blaine Gabbert might be the better passer just from an accuracy standpoint, but he's not going to be that much better for the receivers that nobody really cares about anyway in Torrey Smith and Bruce Ellington and that group.
Arian Foster is off the PUP list after he annihilated his conditioning test. Looking forward to hearing what Dave has to say about that when he comes back from Dolphins camp tomorrow. But so far, with Jay Ajayi banged up with a knee injury, Arian Foster, arrow up, Jay Ajayi, arrow down, and we'll keep
an eye. I moved Foster up in my rankings this morning before I saw the Jay Ajayi, just because Foster was practicing and I didn't expect him to be practicing this early in the summer. I've got him at running back 35 now.
Okay.
And I guess I'll leave him there until we actually see him in like a preseason game, assuming we do.
Yeah, I'm going to move Ajayi down again and Foster up. And looks like Dave just updated his rankings, but I don't think he did that yet.
So Denver's running back coach is praising rookie running back Devontae Booker. And it's just really amazing that we have another Devontae and another spelling of Devontae. Just, it's kind of crazy. So we have
Parker.
Yeah,
I mean that people have different spellings of their names.
No, we have Parker. We have Freeman.
Didn't we go through this with an email where somebody
Adams,
sent us that and they left out Booker?
Adams and Booker. And they're all four spelled differently, right?
Yes.
Wow. Thomas Rawls is on the PUP list. That's not a surprising development. And Reggie Bush is visiting Buffalo this weekend.
I guess I'm the least surprised by that because my name is spelled so many different ways. Like, you can't spell Adam any different. You can't spell Heath any different.
Well, but my first name is Brian.
Oh, you get Brian differently, yeah.
And it's B-R-Y-O-N.
Yours?
So yes. So
how many
I'm
times do people call you Byron?
That was the only name I went by in college, was Byron.
Right.
Really?
From the teachers, I figured I wouldn't be there often enough to correct them. So I just let them call me Byron.
Wide receiver news, Steve Johnson tore meniscus, as we mentioned. So what does this mean for the wide receivers for San Diego, for Phillip Rivers? What does this mean for the San Diego offense?
I wasn't expecting Steve Johnson to be the difference maker for them. It hurts. I mean, you know,
yeah,
when he's the third receiver, the fourth option, that's a nice situation.
It's a little upgrade to Benjamin, isn't it?
Has to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Devontae Adams, according to one report, the Packer report, was having a good camp, but not according to Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. So the drama continues. And Odell
I find
Beckham,
it fascinating that we've had now, there's a few teams that we've had different reports from different beat writers on situations. Like, remember the Cardinals situation we talked about a few weeks ago with one beat writer saying Chris Johnson's the starter and another saying there's no chance that David Johnson's not the starter. And just people viewing practice reports differently. Like, it'll be interesting to see Dave's take on the Dolphins and then compare it to the Dolphins beat writers. You know, a guy who hasn't been around the team comparatively to guys who have been around the team all the time.
Yeah, totally. Odell Beckham Jr. minor cut on his leg. He is fine. Jimmy Graham is on the PUP list. Not surprising. Other news for you. If you read
so that, is Thomas Rawls.
I said that, buddy. I said that in the running back section.
Sorry.
If you read that story from Jason Lockenfora about Steelers camp, he points out that Marquise Pouncey is back, and that's really pretty underrated. He's going to take their offense to another level, one of the best centers in the NFL. Meanwhile, Anthony Davis is at 49ers camp. They certainly could use offensive line upgrades. J.J. Watt will not commit to being ready for week one after his recent neck surgery. And did you see Josh Norman get beat twice? One by Garcon, one by DeSean Jackson in Redskins practice.
Pete Prisco, in his most overrated column, said that Josh Norman is one of the more overrated corners in the NFL, which, if you follow his career, you know, all of a sudden has this huge breakout season behind one of the better defenses in the NFL. I think with the lack of pass rush, a lot of cornerbacks get exposed when there's not a great pass rush to help him out. And we're going to find out that Josh Norman is going to get beat a lot, I think, this year. Like, he's not one of those guys I think you look at and say, like, we've gotten this question quite a bit. Oh, do you downgrade Odell Beckham because he's got to face Josh Norman twice? Or do you downgrade the NFC East receivers because Norman's there? No, not at all. Well, he's a very good player, but I don't think he's at the level that he played at last year because of just his own play. He was a big part of that entire defense. And conversely, the Panthers defense suffers a little bit without him there.
Well, yeah, but also there's talk about him just not being in the right scheme. And if you remember, obviously, what happened with Nnamdi Asamoah when he went to Philadelphia and it was just a terrible fit, there's some concern that that will be the case with Josh Norman in Washington.
Sure.
Worth watching. Now we got about 10 minutes left. Let's do some emails. Start with Brad in Muncie, Indiana. Brad says, everyone laughs when I draft Andy Dalton in my 12-team league, usually in the 10th round or later. Would you guys laugh at that?
Nope.
No, but that's a thing that's been going on for several years. Just tell him to laugh back.
Yeah. Brad says, everyone hates Dalton, probably due to his lack of real postseason success. I just don't get it. Go ahead and hate, but you're missing out on unheard of value in Cincinnati. Thoughts here?
I draft Andy Dalton and Matt Ryan both a lot.
That's a great combo.
Yeah. Okay.
By themselves, however. the quarterbacks we get a lot of questions on based on however they're ranked for each of us. I'm probably the most down on the name guys. Keith's down on Bortles, but he likes Dalton. Dave is down on Dalton, but he likes Bortles. I don't really particularly want either one as my starter for various reasons. With Dalton, it could be great. We talked about this last week with the coordinator change, the quarterback's coach becoming the coordinator, that there could be a lot more passing, and that will help Dalton just by volume. But there's a 16-game sample size of what he's done with an incomplete receiving core in 2014. Then he was bad. You know, and last year he gets Eifert finally for 16 games, or, you know, a healthy season. He gets Sanu and Jones on the field. And you're counting on now Eifert to be healthy, which is questionable with the ankle. You're counting on Tyler Boyd and or Brandon LaFell to step up and be at least what he got from Jones and Sanu. I think that Andy Dalton is going to be this year's version of Matt Ryan, and I think that AJ Green is going to be closer to this year's version of Julio Jones from a year ago, whereas the quarterback wasn't great for fantasy, but he was great for his receiver, and the receiver was still great despite an inconsistent quarterback. So if you're taking one of the last few starters and Dalton is your guy, and you pair him with, if it's Dalton and Cousins or Dalton and, you know, I'm trying to think of quarterbacks that I have ranked behind him, Dalton and Cutler, Dalton and Mariota, and you're comfortable with that, then you go that route. But to take him late as your starter, absolutely go for it. That's not a bad situation at all.
Okay. Dalton's first four games at the Jets, at Pittsburgh, Denver at home, and home against Miami. It's not terrible. It's not great, though.
That's terrible.
That terrible?
Yeah.
Well, Denver's obviously bad. Actually, it's even worse when you factor in that the Miami game is a Thursday nighter. And that's, you know, pretty usually
right. And Pittsburgh's defense is going to be better than it was last year.
Better, but I mean, they were awful last year.
They were, but again, he may not have Eifert for those games.
Yeah, you're right. So it's not a good start for Andy Dalton, at least on paper. Lorenzo's email. Last year, Bruce Arians was pretty consistent in saying he did not want to put too much work on a rookie running back. Even with David Johnson showing brilliance in spurts, Arians stuck to his word until Chris Johnson got hurt. So why would he not stick to his word like he has done in the past? And he's really talking about him saying he'll ride the hot hand.
Yeah, I think that was, I don't think that example meshes with the rest of our Bruce Arians fantasy football quote history.
He also talked up at this point last year Andre Ellington being a feature back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he wants to win, and David Johnson gives him the best chance to win.
If you want a good example of Bruce Arians and David Johnson, I'll reference it again. Go watch the Amazon series, All or Nothing. In their draft room, they wanted Amir Abdullah. They were on the phone with Amir Abdullah to draft him. As they're on the phone with Amir Abdullah, the Lions pick Amir Abdullah. They get all pissy, as understandably so, because they had their guy ready to go. The next guy they moved to on their draft board, at least what they showed on the show, was David Johnson. Bruce Arians could not have been more excited about David Johnson. And he said, and it played out, by Thanksgiving, he will be our featured back. Have they moved from that since?
Well, you know what, Jamie? That also makes me feel better about Amir Abdullah, not going to lie.
That they wanted him?
Yeah.
God, can you imagine how good he would have been in that offense?
Just give him a chance. I think he could be good in Detroit, for goodness sake.
But there is a report that they don't expect to have a 1,000-yard rusher this year.
Yeah, I saw that. He could be over 1,000 total yards, though.
He could be Giovanni Bernard.
Yeah, he could be.
Could be.
Okay, so next email. No name or city. Would you guys like to help me out with that?
No.
It's Byron from Kansas City.
Byron from Harrisonville.
I wanted to ask a question relating to auction drafts. I'm doing my first auction this season with our longtime league, 10 teams PPR. What do you think of this strategy? Out of a $180, I guess it's out of 200, sorry. Out of $200, spend $180 on Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, and Julio Jones in a 10-team PPR league. Use my remaining $20 on $1, mostly $1 players and big upside guys.
No.
Brown, Beckham, and Julio?
Yeah. I'm really intrigued by this.
I mean, the only place it would work is 10-team.
Yes. That's the thing.
Heath.
Yeah.
This is not exactly the same thing, but for our baseball auction, Scott White, he got like Altuve, Goldschmidt, Kershaw, four like really high-end players. It was a 12-team league with deep roster, so it was completely different. But he filled out a lot of his roster with cheap talent, and we did not think it was going to work. We thought maybe it would work because Scott's active on waivers and all that.
Right.
Scott is, well, he's not killing it anymore, but he's still in first place. He's been in first place almost the entire year. So it's a mixed league. It did work. And in a 10-team league like this, PPR getting the three best receivers, I kind of like it. I'm very intrigued.
Look, he's got to know his league. And how people are active on waivers, you know, especially once they get out of it, because you would hope that those three guys get him in it. He'll be able to get a quarterback cheap because it's 10 team. So he can get Matt Ryan or Dalton or, you know, Tyrod Taylor or whoever, you know, Jameis Winston. He should have the opportunity to get quarterback cheap. And then you just have to understand, okay, I'm going to take one of the lesser end tight ends. And so be happy with Delaney Walker. You won't get him for $1, but, Dwayne Allen or, maybe Jimmy Graham, or, you know, take a chance on two guys. The running backs is going to be the key for him and hitting on any of these guys. But the same thing as going zero RB.
Right.
I mean, that's essentially what he's doing. So, I mean, Adam, would you be okay with that? Those three receivers, cheap quarterback, cheap tight end, and then just throw the rest of your roster against the wall with running backs?
I'm fine with those receivers, cheap quarterback, cheap tight end. I don't know if I'd be fine with the running backs. It might be really
okay,
ugly.
Okay, well, let's just say this. Let's just say he's got to devote, of the $20, he's got to devote $5 to one running back.
At a $200, who do you even get for that?
I don't know mathematically what that comes out to.
Like 2.5%.
No, basically the rest of his roster. Like if he's able to still complete his roster by spending $5.
He would.
Okay. So what if he's able to get D'Angelo or Foster with that $5? Which probably not realistic, but let's just say it happens.
Yeah, I think Foster you could probably get for $5.
Okay, Foster for $5. If Ajayi continues to get hurt, can you get Ajayi for $1?
Probably.
Or $2?
Yeah. You could probably get the two of them for $7, I'd say.
Okay. So do you just go after backfield? And then you got to make sure you get like the guys that have a chance to be good as backup running backs. Yeah. You know, so Chris Johnson, Tim Hightower, Josh Ferguson, Jerick McKinnon. Right. You know, I mean, just start gobbling up all these guys and just make sure you have two that are going to get consistent work in the beginning of the year. And what's the worst case scenario? Somebody will trade it for one of those receivers.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And you'll get guys off waivers in a 10-team league. And I cannot believe I didn't even mention the Adrian Peterson injury. Oh my gosh. What a fail on my part.
Was it really an injury?
All right. So it wasn't that big of a deal?
It doesn't seem that. You mean just the fact that he's missing practice?
Yeah, he's got what has he got? A leg, a hamstring or something?
Not sure.
He has both of those things.
Anytime you get, he does. Anytime you get older guys that are banged up, it's troublesome. I mean, Forte's dealing with injury too.
Yeah. So Peterson has a slight hamstring pull. We could talk about that tomorrow. Wow. I wanted to get to more emails. What a shame. We have some good ones. I'll save for tomorrow. Let's do one more here. Jamie from Norfolk, UK.
Sweet. How's he spelled?
N-O-O. I thought you meant Norfolk. J-A-M-I-E, he spells it. That was so stupid. All right, so I'm at dinner with Nando, right? And the bill comes. He says, "Dear Julian, Willie, and Madman."
Elements?
I'm not sure. Yeah, no idea. Oliver Stone, it appears. "I'm a diehard Eagles fan. I love the moves that the team has made this offseason, getting Jim Schwartz as the defensive coordinator. I do feel, however, that the offense has been neglected somewhat. The area that troubles me most is running back. Given Ryan Matthews' injury history, what happens if Matthews goes down?"
Zombie Darren Sproles.
No. Rookie Wendell Smallwood. And I drafted Smallwood in that 12-team draft that we just referenced, and everybody should take a late-round flyer on Wendell Smallwood if you have the opportunity to.
All right. I'm sorry.
Sproles is not going into a feature role.
Somebody has to.
No, he'll just siphon the value off whoever is replacing Matthews with.
Sure, but he's not going to be the one that has the chance to get the lion's share of the work. And you would always take the chance on that as opposed to not taking the chance on it.
I'll be the one who brings this down to a lower level, but like it, Smallwood is a pretty bad last name for a guy.
Lower level.
Right? I mean, that's bad.
I don't know what you mean. Could you elaborate?
I'll explain it off the air.
Okay.
For Heath and Jamie, I'm Adam. Thanks for listening. This is Fantasy Football Today. We'll talk to you tomorrow with our recap of our 10-team PPR mock draft.
Bye.
See ya.